Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this, here in your ears, is a mini episode where we hear from you, listeners, and we share your comments and thoughts and answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please do remember, we're not experts, we're just podcast hosts, and we do always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you would like to reach us, you can leave us a voicemail at 781-591-0390, or you can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
That is true. You can do both of those things.
I wouldn't lie to you or the listener, Dori.
Thank you, Kate.
So let's kick things off with a real sweet voicemail.
Let's do it.
Hi, Kat and Dor. This is Mandy.
And this is Krista.
Longtime listeners, first time callers, and we've been friends for over 25 years.
When I moved away from Mandy about 3 years ago, we decided to start an annual friendship trip. And we wanted to let you know that the past 2 years have been inspired by Forever 35. Last year included an ice roller being gifted to Mandy,
which I loved.
And this year we spent Friday night at Ye Olde Sephora's getting Charlotte Tilbury Pillow Talk, which I'm wearing right now, and face oils.
And then Saturday night we got some sushi, got our nails done, and then watched First Wives Club while doing a face mask.
We're leaving each other tomorrow refreshed in our friendship and dewy in our skin.
Keep up the good work, ladies, and we look forward to future recs for next year's friendship trip. Bye.
That's like my dream weekend.
I know. It sounds great.
Can we come?
Mandy, Krista. Oh, see you there. Krista. That sounds like a blast. First Wives Club.
First Wives Club. What an inspired choice.
Also, do you know they're rebooting that?
Yes, I did know that.
So there'll be more.
We have a friend who worked on it.
That's right.
Yeah.
We have more goodness of us to come.
Mm-hmm. Next year, I think they should watch Soap Dish.
I don't think I've ever seen
that. Oh, my
that.
God.
Oh, sorry.
Kate Spencer.
Is it about soap? It's about a soap opera, right?
Yes. Just watch it. Just enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
I think you'll really like it.
That sounds like a lovely trip.
It does. It really sounds lovely.
I was imagining, like, were they at one of their homes or were they in a hotel?
Great question.
Or an Airbnb. Where were they?
Great question.
I need to know.
To be able to like really picture it.
Yeah, like what state or country are we talking? I just want to really visualize.
I'm picturing they went, like one of them came to the other for some reason, but maybe I'm totally off base there.
I'm imagining like a cozy apartment with a white couch.
Ooh.
A lot of throws.
Yep. Very Nancy Myers. Oh.
What's not to like about a Nancy Myers home?
I mean, literally nothing.
Moving on. A recommendation kind of geared to you.
Okay.
All right. Let's hear this out and see what you say.
Hi, Kate and Dori. I did one of those pause the pods that everybody mentions. I'm listening to your most recent mini app, and you're talking about Netflix shows and which ones you recommended. And I'm sitting here waiting for you to say Sex Education, because I know Dori had said she liked it on Netflix. I can't remember if Kate watched it, but season 2 is out on Netflix, and it is just the most incredible show. I think the word that Dora used to describe it a while ago was revolutionary. So anyway, I hope you mention it again. And it is just the most incredible show, and everybody needs to watch it. Okay, thanks. And this is Meg calling from Boston, driving through the city right now on my way to work. Cheers from the East Coast. Bye.
Meg, you are right. I love Sex Education, but I have not had a chance to watch season 2 yet. I haven't had a chance to like really sit down and watch much TV lately, which my sister is really annoyed about because I got her into Love is Blind. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and then promptly like didn't have time to watch the whole thing.
How far did you get in Love is Blind?
I got like 3 or 4 episodes in. And she's been like, hello, like, can we talk about it? And I'm like,
the weddings are out.
Yeah. So, sorry, Karen. Yeah, I'm dying to watch season 2. It's on my list. I love that show.
Do you think I would like it?
I don't know, because you and I, like, there's some things that we totally agree on, and then there's some things that we like wildly disagree on.
Oh, it's so interesting.
Like two normal people.
Shocking.
Yeah. Who have distinct personalities. I think you would like Sex Education because I feel like you generally like shows about teens.
Love a teen. That
yeah.
sounds very weird.
It does.
Yep.
But I think you will enjoy it.
I do enjoy shows about teens, but they also stress me out in the way where I'm like, oh no, is this what the teens are doing? You know, that kind
well,
of...
Well, it takes place in the UK.
Oh, okay.
So maybe, so that. It's a little bit more... But it's weird though. It takes place in the UK at a very American-seeming high school.
And is everyone British?
Everyone is British, yes.
Okay.
It's really good.
I just started Succession, and once I get through the 2 seasons of that,
yeah.
maybe this will be what I try next.
Okay, great.
There's so many shows.
We really do live in the golden age of television. Okay. Let's move on.
Okay. Take it away, Dory.
Okay, thank you. Hey, Kat and Dor. I just recently finished the entire backlog of the pod and have wanted to write in for a while now. Tonight, my husband and I went on a double date with another couple for the first time in a long time because toddlers. We started discussing my husband applying to school in Philadelphia, and I said, oh yeah, Alex, isn't that where you went to college? She looked at me like I was crazy, and then I realized Dory went to school in Philadelphia. I listened to the pod so much that I meshed real life with my pod life. I felt ridiculous and no one understood. Y'all are like my girlfriends and I love spending time with you every week. Love you both. Love the pod.
I mean, love you.
This cracked me up so much.
Well, because we've all done that too. Like, I definitely have started talking about people that I think are my friends, and then I realize I'm talking about podcast hosts. Mm-hmm. And that
but if you like confused details about your friends' lives with podcast hosts' lives?
No, but it'll be like, oh, someone I know did this. And then totally. It's like, it's not someone I know. It's a person from a podcast who doesn't know I exist.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Or a reality TV star.
Right.
I do that less with reality TV stars. Okay. I mean, it's. I think it's just the nature of the way we consume information, and also how so much of like our cultural consumption is this kind of like nonfiction narrative stuff.
Totally, and because we have this like friendship based conversational podcast,
sure,
she's probably not confusing like Sarah Koenig's like personal life.
That's right,
with her friends.
I'm trying to think of who I have done it with. What podcast host? Do you have someone that you have like a podcast, or like a one-sided podcast host friendship with?
Maybe like Anna Sale.
Mm.
But we have DM'd, so.
Oh.
So maybe it's not so one-sided. But I do really like her a lot. So. There we go.
There it is.
Yep.
Well. This is one of my favorite emails that we've ever gotten. It was 3 lines. No, excuse me, 2 lines. Here was the email. Best face serum under $100 for sensitive, dry / oily skin. I wrote back. Question for you. What do you want the serum to do?
I loved that you put on your like investigative journalism hat.
Well, it made me laugh because I was like, yeah, cut to the fucking point. You're right. Like, give me the, this person was just like,
right,
give me the straight talk.
We don't need a preamble.
No.
We know you love the show.
Don't need an email subject. Just give me that best face serum under $100. For, this is a challenging one. Sensitive, dry, slash oily.
I know. It's like everything.
And so they wrote back and they said, I'm looking for an all day moisture, smoothness and glow. Want to look fresh and compliment my new smooth face from microneedling.
There's a lot going on here.
So let's reiterate first. We are not estheticians, dermatologists, facialists. We're not even beauty writers.
No, but we have been doing this podcast for over 2 years. So
that's
fair. We've accumulated some knowledge.
Some knowledge. I actually did feel good in my like first assessment, which mm-hmm. was, I think this listener should look into niacinamide.
Yes, a popular ingredient.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which is hydrating, but also I believe an anti-redness, anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, anti-inflammatory.
And also a hyaluronic acid,
we love a hyaluronic acid.
We do. That is very hydrating. So a couple that I haven't tried all of these. There's a Paula's Choice that has looked really good that I have not tried. I believe it's a booster. Inky List has a niacinamide.
Mm-hmm.
That was the price point was like $8.
Ooh.
Which listener. Nice. I feel like that's
like you might as well just try it.
You got to try it. And then I looked around for some like hyaluronic-y again. Hyaluronic acid. You know what I found? I haven't tried this. Have you tried the Caudalie, the Venosource thirst quenching serum?
Yes.
You've tried it.
I have tried it.
What's your assessment?
I liked it.
Okay.
Didn't love it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, another, so that was one I thought of. Another one that I have tried a sample of is the Drunk Elephant Behydra Intensive Hydration Serum. So those were some of my ideas. How about you?
Well, I thought perhaps in addition to this serum, you might want to look into something with lactic acid to put on like one or two times a week to kind of keep things smooth. And my suggestion for that was Ye Old Biosance Squalane 10% Lactic Acid Resurfacing Night Serum. It's $62, so it's expensive, but I like that it has the squalane in it. You know, love mm-hmm. a squalane.
And it helps with the barrier of your, like it's yeah. very, matches the natural oil of your skin.
I believe. But again, I think something with this much lactic acid in it, you really only want to use 1 to 2 times a week.
Especially a sensitive, dry skin yeah. person. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, to that point, maybe it's a thing that you get a sample of before you throw down the $62.
Let's just revisit one of our favorite practices. Sephora samples.
Sephora samples.
Get in there and sample.
Now, I know Sephora carries Biosance online, but not every store, I think, carries the whole line of products. But with Sephora, you can always return, you can return anything. So you could, you know, if it doesn't work for you, then just return it. I am also obsessed with the Paula's Choice Peptide Booster. Love a peptide.
What don't you love?
Many things.
I know. I'm teasing.
But when I do love something, I love it.
Yeah, you do.
You know?
What do you like about that, the peptide booster?
I felt like it was like this light, but very moisturizing serum. And I liked, you know, they suggest that you like mix it with your regular serum or moisturizer. So I would just layer it on top of my CoQ10. And I did feel like it like supercharged it.
I've been mixing it in moisturizer too.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think my biggest thought for this listener is try one thing mm-hmm. and then see, don't go and try all the things mm-hmm. at once, especially mm-hmm. because, mm-hmm. you know, you just want to see how your skin reacts
yep.
and then go from there.
Yep. All right, let's take a short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there, the overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click Get Started, and then use our code FOREVER35 at sign up, and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
Dory?
Yes.
A few mini episodes back, a listener wrote in and was like, peeing in the shower, is this a thing? ? Not for me. And we received much feedback.
So much feedback on this.
And we took an Instagram poll.
We did. Do you recall the results of that poll?
I don't recall the exact results, but I do believe it was about like 60-40 in favor of peeing in the shower.
In favor?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And now every time I'm tempted, I think of our podcast audience.
Just peeing away.
Just everybody out there in their homes, yep. Maybe listening to the pod in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Peeing in the shower.
Peeing in the shower.
So here's some feedback we received.
Okay.
Okay. We first is this email. Hello, Doran Cat.
I like it that way. Switching things up.
Longtime listener from Germany, first time emailer. A couple weeks back, you talked about peeing in the shower, and I thought I'd add my two cents. While I understand that people tend to find it gross to pee in the shower, I always considered it liberating. As women, we have to sit or slash squat over the grossest public toilet, something men never have to face because they can pee while standing. So when I take a shower and have to pee, I enjoy peeing while standing. Kate, you mentioned your daughters have asked you about this, and I thought you might appreciate the standpoint from a feminist point of view. It's not like I save my pee for when I take a shower, but when it happens, I'm never grossed out or anything. Unrelated to all this, I thought I'd share my favorite serum, which according to my memory has never been mentioned on your podcast. Dramatically different moisturizing lotion by Clinique. It's great for super dry skin that at the same time tends to have blackheads and hormonal zits.
Wow. What a great email.
I love that transition.
Yeah.
Like, I pee and here's why.
While I'm here.
Let me just also mention my favorite serum. Is that a serum? Dramatically different moisturizing
yes,
lotion?
It is.
I'm remembering like my mom's Clinique from the 80s and I feel like...
You think it's that yellow moisturizer?
Yes, it is. It's the yellow moisturizer.
Oh, so maybe it's not a serum.
Interesting. Listen, you know, who's to say what's a serum and who's not? Maybe it's a serum to this listener.
Wow, okay.
I'm making bold stances
bold
today.
Bold statements. I like this email too. I pee in the shower almost every day and I have for as long as I can remember. And it's not gross because I also wash my legs. This was another controversial shower topic.
Yeah, I've started washing my legs since starting this podcast. When I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like pee is that gross.
Pee is sterile.
Right. That's what I mean. Yes, pee is sterile. Mm-hmm. So if it gets on you.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Aren't we supposed to pee on jellyfish bites?
I think that's an urban legend.
Okay, good thing I haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Because we were at the beach once and someone was getting driven away because they'd been bitten by a stingray.
Oh, gosh.
And my friend was like, oh, they can just pee on it. But then it turned out, I don't think that's actually true.
You know, you're right, because I did just Google pee jellyfish. And the first thing that comes up is an article called Please Don't Pee on Jellyfish Stings. So I think you're right.
Okay. But, you know, whenever Henry would like pee in the bath, it's not like I would like empty out the bath.
No. Me neither.
Because it's like, okay. All right. Should I read this next one as well?
Yes.
Okay. Hello, Cat and Dor. Yes, I pee in the shower. I've been doing it for as long as I can remember and have recently decided to quit. I've started to pee before showering, but something about the warm water really gets me going, almost like a reflex. I didn't realize how bad my habit is until I got married. My husband likes to shower together. I know it sounds silly, but it really has been a hard thing to change. That's so interesting.
Now, can I offer an alternative solution?
Mm-hmm.
Tell your husband tough shit and either pee with him in the shower or tell him to take a shower after you and keep your peeing.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. She doesn't say we like to shower together. She says my husband likes to shower together. Maybe she doesn't even like showering with her husband.
Yeah, I find showering with another person to be a thing that I thought would be sexy and romantic. And mm-hmm. then when I first did it, one of you is in the hot water, and unless you're in some sort of magical shower with like 50 different shower heads,
right.
And then the other person's just standing there like in the cold.
Yeah, unless you're having sex in the shower.
Yeah, right. Then you're boning in the shower.
Yeah.
So maybe your husband likes boning in the shower.
Maybe. But yeah, I agree. It's one of those things like 69ing.
Tori.
But you're like, this sounds cool in theory. And then you actually do it and you're sort of like, is this cool? Does everyone else think this is cool? And I'm the only one who like doesn't really think this is that fun.
Oh my gosh, I'm such a prude. I like can't even talk about this.
Sammy's agreeing with me.
I mean, I agree. It's like my face is
it's
red.
It's like no one, neither person is like able to really like get in there.
Get in the water.
Oh, I was like, oh, 16.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, you're right. No way. Also,
you just feel like your attention is scattered.
It's confusing.
It's confusing.
To have to be working and also yes! trying to relax.
Exactly.
Is
exactly.
A lot of work.
You get it.
Oh my God.
You get it.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I still have, it's very hard for me to talk about sex. I feel like I'm 10.
I get it.
Oh.
69ing. Yes, exactly. I mean, it's not like, blah, but it's just sort of like, wait, really?
You're right. It's the kind of thing that you're like, this is going to be hot. Yeah,
exactly.
When you're like, oh.
Like, what if one person comes first? You know what I mean? It's just God.
Oh, there's a lot of maneuvering. Oh,
so much maneuvering.
I just didn't know this was going to go here.
Well, we're here now. So.
We're here. Boy. One more P email.
Where will I take this one?
No, I think I... Oh, yeah. Okay. Where will I take this one? Oh, my gosh. I do love when you push buttons.
Thanks,
yeah,
Kate.
You are good at that.
Boop,
okay.
Boop, boop.
Oh, my God. Hey, team F35, longtime listener, first time emailer here. I never thought peeing in the shower would be the first thing I'd write in about, but hey, glad to see I can still surprise myself after 33 years. I happily pee in the shower as a small act of environmental sustainability. There's already water going down the drain, so why would I waste more on a toilet flush? Here in drought-vulnerable California, we have to conserve every drop we can. I also grew up with the flush rationing of the previous drought. Now that was gnarly. Besides, as a new mom, I've had to become very comfortable with all kinds of bodily fluids. Just a few weeks in, and I've already encountered much worse than some pee potentially splashing my feet.
I mean, this listener makes an excellent point.
Yeah, environmentally, it makes a lot of sense.
Environmentally, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I flush ration, but I flush if there's a poop. That's where I draw the line.
Yes, me too. I grew up in a family that flush rationed, like
same.
In the 80s.
Totally.
So like, if it's yellow, let it mellow. Yeah. If it's brown, flush it down.
Yeah.
My kids love not flushing everything.
Oh.
As I've had to warn you when
yes,
you come over my house.
You have.
Never know what you're going to find in the toilet. So yeah, I thought this was an interesting perspective. The most interesting thing to me is that the bulk of responses we got were like, yeah.
Totally.
Pee in the shower.
I mean, that kind of makes sense though, right?
Well, and circling back to the person who showers with her husband.
Probably not 69ing in the shower.
Oh my God, Dory. No, but in a tub you could. That would be nuts.
Someone would drown.
Oh God, okay.
I guess it would depend on the size of the
Dory.
Tub.
God darn it. You know, you and Sammy have found my weakness. Talking about.
And we'll never let it go. What were you saying? Sorry.
Oh my God. I was just saying, like, there is a reflex. Like, when I will often, like, pee before I get in the shower and then get in the shower. And the second the warm water hits, the pee arrives again. Kind of like when you were a kid and you thought if you put a sleeping person's hand in warm water,
yes,
they would pee themselves.
Yes, yes. Is that true? Did people really do that? It must have worked at least once.
For that rumor to get started?
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone ever did that to me at a sleepover.
I don't think anyone ever did it to me either.
The only prank I once fell for is someone did saran wrap a toilet once.
Oh, that's a good one.
I did pee right on that saran wrap.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Not very environmentally friendly to saran wrap a toilet.
No, it's disgusting.
Yeah,
it's
and then
gross. The pee gets everywhere.
Ugh, yeah.
Whoa, this segment went places I didn't know it was going to go.
Same.
I think we're going to take a break.
Okay, let's do
and
that.
And then radically switch gears.
All right.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast.
It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Okay, Dory, we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got a voicemail we're going to share with you.
Hi, Cat Door. That's what I always think of calling you guys because my cat loves having a tiny cat door so she can get away from the dog when he's too annoying. Anyway, hi, Cat Door. I'm calling for advice. My friend group, my circle of friends who have been people who I love and who have been close to since I was a child, I'm now in my mid-30s, we lost a really dynamic and wonderful person who was one of our close friends over the holidays. Suddenly he died and everyone is reeling from it. We don't live near each other anymore. We all live spread across the country. And so I wondered, I'm specifically most concerned about one of my close friends who was especially close to this person, like family. They were family almost. So I love her. I've been checking in with her. We send each other Marco Polo messages, like little video messages, but we live far away and I know she's struggling. So I wondered if you guys had some advice about how to take care of a friend who's in really deep grief. We can commiserate with each other, but she's feeling it in a way that I am not. The loss is, as she said, her world fell apart. So I just wondered what kind of advice you guys have for taking care of a friend who is in deep grief. All right. I love you both. You're wonderful. Thanks. Bye.
I'm really sorry. We're both very sorry about your loss.
Yeah.
Losing a friend is so hard.
That's really hard.
So for you, we're sorry.
Yes.
And we're sorry to your whole community. How do you help this friend? I think you check in, you know, you encourage them to take care of their mental health, find a support group,
yeah.
Or get a good therapist or get any therapist and keep the conversation going as needed if they need it. That is the wind. It's crazy.
Wow. Oh, wow. It is.
Yeah. I don't, what else, Dora? Have you been in this situation where you're supporting friends? Grief about a friend. It's very specific.
Yeah, it is very specific. I haven't. I mean, I would just echo what you're suggesting and say check in. I mean, in these situations, I feel like always the, you know, you don't need to respond, but I'm thinking of you, and calling them, I think especially because they are a close friend, and kind of not expecting anything in return, I think is always really important in these situations. Like, they're grieving, maybe they will respond to your overtures and maybe they won't.
I think too, depending on what your financial situation is, if there are things you know that this friend might like that are just kind of could work as a gesture, like you could buy them a 5 class pass to their yoga studio if you know it.
Really,
you know,
nice.
You could send a plant or a care package, make a donation to something in your friend's name. I mean, there's a lot of gestures you can do that I think can show support and just kind of provide a comfort to somebody. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, you could also, if this friend has a spouse or a partner or somebody local you could connect with and just say, hey, I want to, if you have any thoughts on how I can best support, you know, so-and-so, let me know.
Yeah.
So then you open a line of communication with their partner too. I don't know if that feels like going behind their back to you. It might not be a fit for everybody, but that's something you could do.
Yeah.
You're a good friend.
You're a really good friend.
Yeah.
And again, we're very sorry about your friend.
Yeah. Dory, we have another advice email.
Okay. Hi, Kate and Dory. I love the podcast and I'm writing to ask for your advice. Today, I was walking my dog and I ran into my next door neighbor. She asked if she was seeing what she thought she was seeing. I likely looked confused and she followed up to ask if I'm pregnant. I mumbled something about not being pregnant and it's likely just the dress I'm wearing. She then told me not to worry because I do not look fat. After spending 2019 trying to get pregnant and losing 2 pregnancies, the comment hit me relatively hard. I've gained weight through the pregnancies and fertility treatments. I thought I was at peace with my body and where I am in life, but I'm feeling pretty terrible about myself and my body after this exchange with my neighbor. It's easy for me to tell myself not to feel bad and that it was just a couple of insensitive comments, but I'm struggling to internalize that and believe it. Do you have any tips for how to move forward when you're not feeling great about yourself physically?
I mean, you got hit with a double whammy of someone saying something incredibly invasive and ignorant, and then also then following it up with something very fat phobic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really shitty.
Yep.
And I'm sorry that happened to you. I think how to move forward when you're not feeling great about yourself physically is, I think, to take extra care to be loving toward your body.
Mm.
For me, that manifests as like massage, a nice lotion, going for walks, stretching and yoga, just showing my body love and appreciation and treating it like with a little extra care.
I love that.
I don't, this is really a hard one.
Yeah.
What do you I was going to say, this is a great thing to, I mean, I know we recommend therapy every 2 seconds, but this is a great thing to work out with a therapist, mm-hmm. to really be able to talk at length about it and the ways in which it made you feel.
And if you can find a therapist who specializes in fertility, infertility, miscarriage, pregnancy, et cetera, they might have even more sort of empathy and compassion and ideas about how to move on from this. Kate, I really like your suggestions. I would also say maybe just in general, try to do things that feel joyful to you. You know, whether it's like, maybe it's rereading one of your favorite books or watching a million episodes of, you know, some TV show, just things that bring you comfort and joy.
That have nothing to do with your
that
actual...
That have nothing to do with,
body image.
Exactly. Yeah. Hopefully that will help.
I would say, I don't know if this is at all helpful, but coming up with an answer so when people say these kinds of things, like this might be a good thing to talk about with the therapist. Like if this ever happened again, how would I handle this? Like if someone made this comment to ask if you were pregnant, what is a thing you could say that you feel comfortable with? And then if someone makes a comment about I mean, saying like that's just makes me so, I mean, fat phobia makes me really pissed off too. So thinking about ways in which to respond, like, actually, you know what? I don't want to hear any comments about my body, no matter how they're intended or whatever. I mean, I think there's, I don't know what a good comeback is, but something you feel safe saying.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea.
Sorry. People stink.
Yeah.
Man, people stink.
Like, some people are great, but then some people really stink.
Yeah. And the ways in which people think it's okay to comment on fertility and
it's
our bodies is boggles the mind.
Yes.
And I'm just sorry that someone sent you on this spiral. Wasn't you didn't ask to be put here. So in short, fuck that person.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's an email. Hi, Kat and Dor. I'm in need of some commiseration, and I was hoping maybe either of you or fellow listeners could help. I've been job searching since October. It's been rough, slow going, and incredibly draining. I was not emotionally or mentally prepared for how long or difficult this process would be. It's literally felt like I'm signing up to be rejected over and over again, and I hate it. But I also hate my current job. I took it almost 2 years ago because I was told it would be a, quote, good foot in the door at a great company and that I could easily transfer to the department I actually want to work in. Well, the company might be great, but transferring has proved to be nearly impossible. I've met with multiple people in the department I want to work in, but there simply aren't any open positions. I'm stuck. Anyway, after applying for 109 jobs externally, I finally was called in for two interviews. One, I was ultimately rejected because of lack of direct experience, but the other was going really well. I made it to the final interview. Except I got the dates mixed up and I missed it. I just completely goofed and didn't show up for the final interview because I thought it was on Tuesday and it was on Monday. They didn't let me reschedule because it's so down to the wire now. I feel like shit as a type A personality type who has an identity crisis every time they're a minute late to anything. And someone who's been job searching for months with nothing to show for it, I'm completely devastated. I don't know what happened, and I'm now starting to doubt myself. I don't feel good enough. I know conceptually that people make mistakes, and I didn't just completely wreck my entire life, but I'm still so close to it, and that it feels like I did. I can't shut off the inner voice telling me that that was my one shot to get out, and I ruined it. Do either of you have any similar fuck-up stories? My husband and therapist are great, but if I hear everyone makes mistakes one more time, .. I don't need anyone else telling me we all make mistakes. I need cold, hard consideration right now.
I think she meant commiseration.
I think so. Cold, hard commiseration.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
First of all, yes. Once I deleted an entire section of VH1's web front page website by mistake... I mean, yes, once I called a celebrity by the wrong name and it completely offended them, yes, we all, I mean, I know you said you don't want to hear we all make mistakes, but we all just do stuff that there's no reason.
Yeah.
We're all on top of things. And sometimes it just freaking happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it just happens.
I accidentally... When I went to let my boss know that I was leaving my job, this was years ago, I accidentally pasted my email to him into my work Slack group and sent them the email announcing that I was leaving before I had sent it to him. How's that? That's pretty bad.
That's a good one.
That's pretty bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've done it. Do you have anything like this story?
You know, I was trying to think of this and I feel like maybe this is like a survival mechanism, but I feel like I just like block this stuff out. You know, like yeah. The deep fuck ups. I'm like, I know they've happened, but I was trying to think of like a specific example. I mean, I've forgotten to like post a podcast. That I remember.
I recently published an episode of our podcast by accident that didn't have like the show notes. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like a glitch in the system that I wasn't aware of, but that sent me in a spiral.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have I ever forgotten a job interview? I don't know. I've gotten dates wrong about stuff. Yes. I mean, yeah. You know, I think I let us welcome all listeners' commiseration stories. And let us also say to you.
Oh, I have a good one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not a job interview, but I once went to the wrong airport.
Oh, what?
I've also booked. Okay, now I'm like remembering things because they're not like work related. Well, there have been like some real travel fuck ups. Like I've booked flights on the wrong for the wrong day and not realized it till like the day before.
Oh, God.
And then had to like rebook tickets, you know, the day before. So it was like super expensive. But yeah, once I went to JFK and I was supposed to go to LaGuardia.
Oh, God. And did you get make the flight?
I did actually make the flight because it was like 4 a.m. Ugh. Like it was super early. And so there was no traffic. And I think it was a weekend. And so I just got in a cab and I was like, LaGuardia. But I was like trying to check in at a kiosk at JFK. And it kept being like, you can't check. Like it wouldn't let me check in. I was like, what is happening? And I went up to the ticket counter and they were like, your flight leaves from LaGuardia. And I was like, no. And I ran out the door. And yeah. It was bad.
Yeah. I once, in another lifetime, I worked at a financial company on this like production team and we produced reports and I was supposed to run the numbers, but I didn't understand how to use the software. And I ran the numbers wrong and inserted them into a report and we printed out all these wrong reports with bad numbers.
Oh no.
Yeah. And I was so horrified and ashamed and terrible. And I quit that job. It was awful. But I mean, look, we've all done it. We've all done something, whether it's work related or not. And the sting of it will subside eventually. But right now it feels extra shitty because you're in work hell, trying to find a new job and being miserable at your old job and doing 109 interviews. I mean, that feels demoralizing.
Yes. Super demoralizing.
So I can only imagine this just is like the icing on top of the shit cake.
Yeah, the shit sundae.
Yeah.
The cherry on top of the shit sundae.
And it just sucks. And there's kind of no other way around it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're right. I mean, sure, everyone makes mistakes, but also like you're going through it and it sucks. And I feel like you can have time just to be pissed off about it. And we wish you the best in your job search.
Yeah.
And just, you know, be gentle on yourself. And also listeners, commiserate with us. What have you done?
And if anyone tells you things happen for a reason, you can like trip them.
Yeah. The whole like, well, this job wasn't supposed to be. It's like, no, I just messed up the days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That I hate that kind of advice.
But yeah, I'd love to hear. I'd love to hear listener stories about this.
Yeah. What have you done?
What have you done?
We've all done it.
All right. Well, all
right. Or you want to throw in another 69 joke before we wrap things up?
Well, you know, I know our producer, Sammy, loves that locker number.
Yeah, you got to follow it, your Sam, on Instagram, because Sam, when Sammy goes to the gym, they purposefully get locker 69. Mm-hmm. So
there you go.
There you go.
All right. Bye, everyone.